Howdy, howdy, howdy.
Howdy, howdy, howdy. Welcome back, everybody, to the Trade Writers Podcast, the comic book club, where we read a different trade paperback every single week. I'm Daniel. You are Nathan. We're brothers. We read comics.
That's right. And we're big nerds.
Nathan, you know what I realized editing the 300 episode? Is that we now can't do 300 for the 300th episode.
We thought about that, and we're like, that's way too short for like a 300th episode. We should just read every episode or every issue of Amazing Spider-Man up until like that Todd McFarlane cover at 300.
How many episodes? Is that 300 issues?
It's 300 issues. Dude, when he really hops on it.
Do you really want to do a 300 issue
yes.
episode? No one's even going to listen to
no
it.
No one will listen to it, but we will know that we did it.
Oh, God.
Yeah, I have no idea what we'll do for 300.
I'd rather shoot you than read that.
That's a fair trade.
Yeah.
You're like, you sound like Lord Farquaad. It's like, some of you may die, but that's a risk that I'm willing to take. Daniel, I had a nerd dilemma that I couldn't figure out in my head, and I need your help.
Does it have to do with spending too much money on something?
No, I did that today.
Okay, good.
Actually, no, I had a great deal today. But anyway, that's not what I'm talking about. I was on my way to work, and I saw a car that had the like Mandalorian beast like sticker thing. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, with the horn.
Yeah, it had that. It had two Mandalorian decals, and then there's also a Blue Lives Matter decal. And I was like, I think those are a little bit contradictory, and I couldn't quite piece it together because I don't know if I know enough about Mandalorians.
But
aren't Mandalorians like bounty hunters and they're like their own like cult and they don't conform to like
yeah. government? So it's kind of like a religion. So I think they probably are closer to like, you know, Jesus freaks than anyone in the Star Wars universe.
Yeah.
And bounty hunters, they're not necessarily like armed forces or anything like
yeah.
any I think, kind of public
I think in
safety
his head
thing.
They might have been like, he's like, oh, yeah, Blue Lives Matter. You know, whatever. It's a dumb thing to have on your car as a decal.
Yeah.
But then to be like, Mandalorians kind of like are like that as well, because they're like, you know, they got
space
rules.
Cops.
They have a code, you know. And so that's what I imagine he was saying to himself in his head when he was putting those up.
If anything, he should have a Green Lantern sticker.
That's what I'm saying. Green lives matter, too.
So dumb.
Yeah.
Dude, I got this notification from Spotify and it was trying to like recommend podcasts to me. And in the notification, it's like, you've listened to over 1,600 episodes of podcasts. And I'm like, Jesus Christ.
Whoa, that's a lot.
I know. I was like, because I listen to podcasts like all day during work.
Yeah.
So I just fill up like 10 hours. I like jump around.
How many do you cycle through in like a week? Because I assume podcasts you listen to probably release weekly, right?
Like 10 different podcasts. Whoa, at least.
That's a lot.
Yeah. Because I'll like catch up on some.
You know,
like I'll binge them and then now I just have to wait until they come out weekly.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes that's not even enough, you know,
you just start doing like audiobooks or something.
No,
that's what people say, but
because like I can't like focus on two things.
Yeah,
it's more like
to ignore.
Spotify. It's like I'm listening to it like slightly.
Yeah.
And I know I can miss some stuff because
mm-hmm.
they're just jabbering on about something.
Yeah.
You know, but like the book, I might miss something important.
Yeah, that's fair. I'm the same way.
So anyway, we got different time codes in our description. We got the book, which is Immortal Hulk. We got Back Matter Matters and the poll list, but we start with our news. And speaking of Star Wars, Cameron
yes.
Monaghan has confirmed a third Jedi Fallen Order.
Jedi Survivor?
Jedi,
well, I guess.
A third. Fallen Order was the first
Jedi,
one, right?
Yeah.
The third Fallen Order game is in the works.
Cool.
Yeah.
I like that.
Which is cool because you said it kind of like left itself open for a third one.
For sure.
Well, yeah, like it did because of the bode stuff and whatnot.
Mm-hmm. You should finish it.
Yeah, you tell me that like every week and you start to sound like you're starting to sound like my mom right
we'll
now.
Do it tonight. We go downstairs. I'll help you beat Vader.
Okay.
As if I'm your big brother. And you're like, I can't beat him. And I'm like, you have to hit where he's going.
Oh.
No, it's not. It's not Space Invaders.
Okay. But yeah, that's exciting.
That is exciting to me.
What was the spacing between the first two games? Like 3 or 4 years?
Not that long. It was probably like 3 years. Yeah.
So
actually, it was 3 years.
We'll get another one in like 3 years.
That's cool. I could wait that long.
2019.
This one released 2023, so 4 years?
4 years, so we got a hell of a 2027 coming, Nathan.
Dude, I can't wait. Marking my calendar.
Yeah. but I don't want them to rush it. You know, 2027, I can wait for
it. Yeah, make it right.
Yeah.
Because, like, Jedi Survivor is, like, my favorite Star Wars thing, I think.
We don't want, like, a cyberpunk situation where we have to wait for the game to get good.
Yeah. Apparently, that game's really fucking good right now, though.
Probably.
Yeah. So, Daniel,
Nathan, we got the title for the upcoming Tom King and Peter Gross comic that's coming this winter. It's called Animal Pound.
Dude, that's going to be so good, I feel like.
The one that has a dog?
Yeah, the one with the dog.
Yeah.
When does it come out?
Winter.
Oh, fuck. That's so far. Wait, no, it's not far. It's coming.
It's like around the corner.
Oh, wait. Why didn't they just say the date then? Because I feel like...
Where does he live? DC?
They could say like December and I'd be like, cool. Or like January.
Maybe they don't really know.
Fuck.
But winter could also mean like February.
Not here.
maybe in DC.
They should consider Arizona.
On the East Coast? Yeah. It like comes out and I'm like, I'm wearing shorts right now. Like,
yeah, this is definitely winter. Yeah.
Yeah.
Daniel, big news. Shaky Kane has a new project coming out.
Ooh.
Called The Man from Maybe.
Love it.
I know. And
I mean,
you know, famous for The Beef, which we read here.
Yeah.
A series I still think about every once in a while for some reason.
Or Weird Work.
Or Weird Work, which is
his current project.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I guess he's coming off that. But like this comes out October 18th. So like pretty soon.
Nice.
From Oni Press. It was described as LA Confidential mixed with Futurama.
Love it. Fucking love it, dude. Yeah. It's just more Weird Work.
More Weird Work,
that's
I guess.
That's like his that's his bubble, dude.
That's what Weird Work is described as. So now the duo are teaming up for yet another weird and wonderful book called The Man from Maybe. This takes place in the dry and dead future that's coming soon, this postmodern, post-apocalyptic epic of Western-infused action focuses on a race to acquire a crashed spacecraft's cargo.
Perfect. Dude. Shaky Kane on a Star Wars book?
Effectively pitting the Oppenheimer-obsessed billionaire Harvey Denny and a masked bandit and the cold iron of his laser rifle. Yeah, so some crazy shit it looks like.
I'm fucking down.
I will give him another chance. I didn't know what was going on in Weird Work.
But I might make you read Weird Work just so that
if you
understand.
Finish Weird Work and you're like, I enjoy that. I will give it another shot. Because same thing happened with The Beef. I was like, what am I doing here?
I don't even know if Weird Work's going to be done by then.
I don't know, maybe.
I think it's 5 issues. I can't remember.
But yeah, that was something that I was not expecting.
That's very fucking exciting.
Yeah, and I'm very excited.
I'm glad we don't have to wait like another like 4 years or something for his next project. Yeah, apparently
he was cooking while we were reading The Beef.
when you type in Weird Work, the weirdest jobs in America pop up.
Okay.
What do you think number one is?
Weirdest?
Yeah.
Probably like those people that go to people's houses and they get rid of their ghosts, you know?
Close, dude. Paranormal guide.
Oh, I knew it had to be something paranormal.
So I think it's like you take people to haunted houses.
And you're like, here's where the person died.
Second weirdest job, milking snakes.
Like of their venom?
Of something.
Or of their milk. Do they make milk?
I don't know. Do snakes have nipples?
I don't think so.
Third one, detecting landmines. 4, dog food taster.
Oh, I could do that.
Feng Shui consultant.
Feng Shui?
Feng Shui. Mm. What is that?
It's like very abstract style, I guess.
Okay.
It doesn't really mean anything when you say it, I feel like.
So you're like a decorator?
Yeah, I would say so.
Okay, cool. Give me 2 seconds.
Anyway, we were looking at Weird Work.
So Weird Work is 4 issues. Number 4 comes out the week before that new book.
He's been cooking. They've both been cooking. I guess it's the same writer, so...
Jordan Thomas?
Yeah.
Nice, dude. I fuck with it, dude. Is this going to be the next big duo in comics?
It might be. The next dynamic duo. Watch out, Tom King and Mitch Gerrits.
Get the fuck out of here, Ed Brubaker.
Shaky Kane's coming out, yeah. Watch out, Sean Phillips. You got Shaky Kane on your ass.
Yeah, Stanley who? Anyway. Nathan, so there is a Tomb Raider anime coming to Netflix in 2024. We got a trailer for it.
Oh, neat.
Looks pretty cool, actually.
Does it?
Yeah.
Okay.
And there's Tomb Raider comics, so get out of my face.
Are there really?
Yeah, I had to look them up. Gail Simone did one.
Oh.
So pretty cool stuff.
Wow. Yeah, those games have gotten pretty good since like the Xbox One.
Is to make them?
Yeah.
Cool.
Mm-hmm. It's like Uncharted, but for Xbox. I think that's what they're trying to do.
But with titties.
But with titties, yeah, exactly. Daniel, the distillery are announcing some more comics.
Are they books that were in the teaser thing?
No, I don't think so. This one's from Mirka Andolfo, and I know that she did one in that anthology thing, Mirka Andolfo.
Yeah.
But this one's called Blasphemous. It is a horror comedy to release in December.
It's got to be the one, right? Like, why would she, like, have two things from there, you know?
I don't know.
Because I feel, I'm sure that's just, like, the one from the teaser.
It might be. I can't remember what her story was, but
I'm sure it was something sexy.
Yeah, maybe. Also, Dick Tracy's coming back as a comic.
Wow.
Alex Segura and Michael Moreci are bringing it back with Mad Cave.
I think Mike Allred did one of those.
I think so too, yeah.
Yeah, that's mm-hmm. cool.
People love Dick Tracy. I've never touched it. So.
Yeah, just a detective guy.
Mm-hmm. This one looks pretty noir as well, so pretty cool.
I love that they have to have this like noir picture and then the same old Dick Tracy font. The
same like corny Dick Tracy font.
Yeah, it's like goofy looking.
I think it's kind of cool.
It fits perfectly for Allred shit.
But yeah, it does.
What do we read this week, Nathan?
Daniel, we had the pleasure of reading Immortal Hulk by Al Ewing, Joe Bennett, and Roy Jose as the inker with Paul Mounts as the color artist.
Yeah, he does.
And
dude, Paul Mounts from Wanted.
Did he color Wanted?
Yeah.
Oh, cool. Okay. Interesting. I can see that now that you mention it.
Because I made that same joke where you were like, Paul Mounts. I'm like, yeah, he does.
Funny a second time. Great yeah. job.
So this trade's called Or Is He Both?
Mm-hmm.
And this is sold to me as like a horror take on The Incredible Hulk.
Right. I think it misses that mark a little bit.
Yeah, I think
we're kicking off our horror month in October
with a horror book.
With a book that has some horror panels.
Yeah, I think it started that way. Like the first issue could probably be described as that. But then it kind of like
teeters out, I
guess. Teeters out as far as the horror stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, there's, like you said, some good panels in there.
There's some pretty solid issues in here, like individually as well, that I really enjoy.
Yeah.
So I had a good time reading this.
Sure.
I was reading this and I was like, okay, I could see like a Hulk solo movie again, you know?
Sure. Yeah.
Because like, you know, I was before I would be like, yeah, they've done it. You know, they've probably done it to like its maximum potential with just the previous Hulk movies that have come out. But after reading this, I'm like, I would watch another one.
Yeah, sure.
So
this is after the Hulk or Bruce Banner died in Civil War II.
Yep. A bit of continuity in here.
Yeah.
So did this release like right after Civil War II, I guess?
Sometime after.
No. Sometime after. Yeah. But yeah. And that he was killed, or everybody seems to think that. So.
By Hawkeye. So Hawkeye beats Hulk?
Yeah. Easy. But Hulk has to give Hawkeye the arrows to kill him.
Well, so he's got... He gave him two. So if this ever comes up again, he could kill him again.
Ooh, he's got a second one. No, yeah. I think he shot both.
I think it's just the one, but...
Okay. I think there's a panel where it shows, but yeah.
I could be wrong.
But let's get into it, Daniel.
This had some top-tier panels.
Oh, yeah.
From Alex Ross himself.
Oh, from the covers.
What did I say?
You said panels.
Top tier covers.
Yeah, he does an Incredible Hulk. I don't know how he does it because I know he uses like a lot of actors.
He
and
does
stuff.
Do it, Incredible Hulk.
And yeah, he crushes Hulk here. So.
And I think his covers might be the most misleading part of this.
Yeah,
because this one he's coming out of the grave, you know.
Because that one's fine because it's like Hulk's back. He was dead, now he's not.
Yeah.
How do you portray that?
So it does play into that, but. Anyway, we'll just get into it.
Yeah. So Bruce Banner, he's alive and he's in a Roxxon gas station being all anonymous. Quick note. I think it's actually kind of funny that they use Roxxon and that's like their big gas one, because that was like the owner of like Roxxon as like a company is like a villain in Jason Aaron's Thor run.
Oh, okay.
And I was like, okay, interesting. And I think it was like around that time that his Thor one was going on. So I was like, oh, okay, interesting.
Wow, we got the inside scoop.
Yeah, on the Marvel gas stations. You heard it here first.
Yeah, this is the type of content you get from the Trailers podcast. So the don't ever think of going away.
That would be a crazy trivia question. Like name a gas station in the Marvel universe.
Gas station chains in the Marvel universe comics.
Yeah. There's a guy that goes into the gas station and he starts robbing the cashier. there's like a little girl that drops a bottle because she's startled, and that startles the robber, and the robber shoots the little girl and it kills her. Great way to start off a book. Banner starts to get angry.
The kids.
Yeah. Banner starts to get angry, but the robber panics, shooting both Bruce and the cashier before running off. So, bizarre way to start a comic. A kid dies, and the dude gets away. So it's like, okay, this is what we're doing.
Yeah. This is kind of like that Flash cameo in Batman versus Superman. Do you remember that, where he's in like the gas station?
Oh, yeah.
But Flash actually saves the day.
Yeah. So. And Bruce is like, all right, well, all right, let me get into my posture. And then he just gets shot in the face. So
give me a second, but to poke out.
You better wait right there.
Yeah.
At the crime scene, we meet the reporter, Jackie McGee, who's questioning the police. And then we see Bruce start to transform in the morgue. And then we find out the robber's name is Tommy, and he's part of some like biker gang, and he's robbing gas stations to pay back some debt to like the leader of this gang. But the power goes out, and then we see the Hulk kind of come in, and he starts taking everybody out. I love this like first panel that we see the Hulk in like his entirety.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's a double page spread, and he fills up the entire fucking thing. He's like crouching down.
Yeah.
And he still fills up the whole double page. So I thought that was pretty cool. He seems to be a fully verbal Hulk, which is kind of cool.
Yeah.
Because we don't see that all the time. But this one, in this run, it's like a point where Hulk is like its own separate personality, has its own like independent thought.
And I guess they say he's supposed to be smarter than Bruce Banner.
Yeah, there's like that part of it. I don't know if I
Has really Hulk been hitting that. The books or something?
Yeah, like, Hulk's been hitting the textbooks and, I don't know, studying.
Went to school.
I think... To me, it didn't seem like he was smarter, but he definitely seems like just like a regular guy. Like, this could be me.
Yeah.
Not just like the physical aspect of it.
He kind of looks like you.
That's what I'm saying. Thank you.
He's got this huge eyebrow bone.
Yeah.
You know, okay. And his eyes are very small.
I'm glad you brought this up, because I want to talk about the Hulk design, because it's kind of like weird how many different Hulk designs there are for such a very simple design.
It's just big man.
Yeah, big green man. And it's like, how do you create variety with that?
Yeah.
And I think something that's really effective in making him look fucking massive is how small his nose is compared to everything else on his face.
Yeah.
Because normally the nose is like going straight to your mouth, but this looks like just, it's about as big as his eye, it feels like.
Yeah.
And so I think that helps make it seem more brutish and more Frankenstein kind of.
Yeah, I think Frankenstein is definitely the inspiration for this one. Yeah. You know, and he's even got like the Thomas Shelby haircut, you know, from like Peaky Blinders, which I thought was interesting.
Dude, I was gonna say Oppenheimer haircut.
But yeah, I think I like how I don't necessarily like looking at him.
Yeah,
you know, I'm like, he's not like a handsome Hulk.
No, he's not.
He's definitely the derpiest looking
dude. The eyebrow bones just going like past his face.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, he's...
He looks very like...
He's a brute for sure.
Sapien...
Abe Sapien, no, Hellboy.
Homo sapiens before that.
Oh, Neanderthal.
Yeah, very Neanderthal looking. He looks very, very monkey-ish.
Yeah, he does.
He's got these big, like... It's like teeth. A big upper lip. Yeah.
Yeah. He's just fun to look at. So Joe Bennett really crushes that.
Definitely. Have you seen Joe Bennett stuff?
Dude, I have. And I looked it up before, and now I forgot. I'm just forgetful today.
Yeah, dude, you suck.
But no one heard what I forgot before because we weren't recording yet.
True.
So Joe Bennett has done Brazilian Horror Comics magazines. That's probably not where I know him from. Hold on.
So another wrinkle to the Hulk lore that they add to this is that he only really comes out at night. Like, he's nocturnal.
Whoa. Wait, hold on.
What?
I just found an article titled Marvel Breaks Ties with Joe Bennett, Removes Immortal Hulk Artist from Upcoming Project. Marvel ends its 27-year relationship with Immortal Hulk artist Joe Bennett.
Wow.
He was supposed to be on Timeless number one, that one shot that came out
right
not so long ago. Why?
We got some hot goss.
We got some hot goss from 3 years ago.
Some breaking news.
Marvel does not explain its reasons for the sudden break, but their decision follows a statement from Bennett's Immortal Hulk partner, Al Ewing, on September 2nd, in which the writer says he is choosing not to work with the artist again due to reprehensible artwork drawn. Ewing refers to a 2017 political cartoon Bennett drew, which caricatures some people as rats, but says it's more about more than just one illustration. Interesting.
Joe Bennett was canceled?
Yeah, he was canceled.
Damn.
Oh, he draws a great Hulk, though. What else has he been on, though?
We picked this book before we knew this.
Yeah, we didn't know this.
Just to be clear here.
I just found the hot goss. Wow, that's all you find when you look up his name, too. I just searched Joe Bennett, and that's just...
I thought you looked this up before.
I did, but maybe it was on, like, Comixology or something.
I wonder what the cartoon was.
Like what? It must have been some racist or something.
Probably.
Okay, he has been on part of the Nick Spencer Captain America run.
Okay.
Looks like mainly Captain America. Some X-Men stuff, but I wasn't super big on that. Interesting.
Yeah, he comes out at night, Nathan.
Yeah, Hulk comes out at night.
Which I think is fun. You know, just, you know, kind of redo. Not like redo, but like do a different take on the character. Because something like the Hulk, for me, I feel like doesn't have like a ton of plot potential.
Yeah.
But if you just tweak a few things, just and especially if they were going for the whole horror thing, mm-hmm. it seems like that's a fun play on like, you know, the werewolf and whatnot.
Yeah. Well, he's also trying to stay dead. Like he doesn't want people to know that Hulk is like alive as well. So doing that at night, I think helps with that.
Yeah. He's like on the run.
Yeah.
He's like Jack Reacher.
Mm-hmm.
So that's interesting. I think this works, you know, rather than him having like this home base of like a lab or something.
Yeah. I like that.
Also, there's never great dialogue in a lab.
Yeah. They also do two double page spreads back to back, which I always feel like is bold.
I love it. I'm here for it.
Yeah. I think it's cool too.
Which one are you talking about?
Well, it's like there's this one where we first see Hulk and then we just see only his head.
Oh, yeah. I wasn't sure if that was a double.
Yeah. The big fucking head covers both pages. So pretty cool. But the Hulk breaks like all of Tommy's bones and leaves him outside the hospital. So that's nice. At least he didn't have to incur the ambulance charges.
Yeah.
And then Jackie, the reporter, is there to take another statement from the police and finds out the thing that did this was Big and Green. But everyone knows the Hulk to be dead, but, you know, maybe he can't be killed. And that's like the whole thing.
Yeah.
There's like this recurring trope through the book of Bruce looking in the mirror and seeing the Hulk, which I think is interesting. Because is that, I mean, like,
that's always like a thing, right?
It is. Because it's like, is that how he sees himself or is that actually how he communicates with like this Hulk, because they are like separate personalities, you
know? I think he actually is, because that's like a, because the Hulk is based off of like Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, you know, and that's like something that he does as well.
He looks in the mirror.
Yeah. And he can like communicate with his other or whatever.
Ooh.
And so
fun fact, better fun fact than my gas station one.
Yeah. Deeper cut.
So issue two.
What does his like artwork like remind you of?
Joe Bennett's?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Kind of like a Gary Frank, like the way he draws like human faces.
No.
It just kind of reminds me of like,
I think Gary Frank has a little bit more rendering in the face.
Yeah. Yeah. Like Gary Frank, but with less rendering. I'm just thinking like what's close, not like exact, you know?
I would almost say like maybe the dude that did Skyward. What's that dude's name again?
Lee Garbett. Lee Garbett always seemed like a little bit more cartoony, not necessarily like as exact with like proportions.
It's kind of hard because Joe Bennett draws Bruce kind of like how I guess Gary Frank would.
Right.
Because he's very like dirty and he's got like 5 o'clock shadow stuff mm-hmm. going on. So maybe like the Bruce's, but for like the reporter lady or the detective lady, I almost see that as like a Lee Garbett.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Issue two. So Bruce is on the run again. And he's like in a bus going cross country and he's dreaming about the night that he was turned into the Hulk and like the Geiger instrument that's like screaming at him and stuff. And then he stops and eats at a diner and tries to like enjoy the little things, like how good breakfast tastes and shit like that.
Yeah.
But he sees a newspaper article about some mysterious deaths that he goes to investigate.
He mentions like his like therapist that he had, Leonard Sampson,
mm-hmm.
aka Doc Sampson.
Who's that?
I was going to ask you.
Doc Sampson. That sounds familiar.
Yeah. I think he's just like another like gamma person.
Okay.
But apparently he was helpful. I think he might have been there when he had his accident. But yeah, just like another character that they like name drop.
Yeah. Seems like it.
He goes to like a bar after this to get information about like the person that died.
Mm-hmm.
And this bar looks incredible. It looks like a place I've been.
Oh, dude. Yeah, it looks like a like a great Irish, like just dive bar.
Yeah, pub.
Pub.
It even says Irish pub on the window.
Yeah, it's a great Irish pub. There's a thing that Bruce explains, which is the walking ghost phase of getting hit by radiation, which I think is pretty cool. And it's basically where you still feel healthy, but you are definitely hit with like a lethal amount of radiation.
Yeah.
And they call you a walking ghost. And that's pretty sick.
Okay.
And that's something that, you know, comes in later. Also, the diner that he goes to is Buscema's. And that's referencing Sal Buscema, who is an old Hulk artist.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
I like that shit.
Do you think, Daniel, speaking of Bruce Banner's design, that his eyebrows are too thick?
A little too thick.
They're a little bit much in this issue.
Yeah, you could thin those up a little bit.
Yeah. You got to... Or if you're trying not to draw attention to yourself, like, fucking wax them.
Yeah, don't Bruce. Have eyebrows like that.
Yeah. I thought you were super smart.
Because it's like black eyebrows and his hair is like brown.
Yeah.
You know, maybe if they just put more into that, it would help.
One actor? You know.
Eugene Levy.
Yeah.
Or his son, exactly. Dan Levy.
More so Eugene because of the just how hard of a change it is between his hairline and his eyebrows.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's got some Eugene Levy eyebrows. That's crazy.
Sarah like hit me with like a backhanded, like kind of not a compliment, but phrase.
Okay.
She's looking at my eyebrows. She's like, I can't wait for us to wax our eyebrows. I'm like, whoa. Your eyebrows look fine. What do you mean?
So you're just saying mine.
Yeah. I'm like, you can barely see mine with my glasses. So it's like,
yeah.
Is it that important? But
and they're a little out of hand.
They really bother her, I guess.
Did you wax them already?
No.
Oh, yeah. They're a little out of hand. to be fair, Sophie did my eyebrows this week. They look great. So great job, Sophie.
Yeah. I feel like each one belongs to a different person, but yeah, they look great.
That's awful. You definitely heard that from like a movie or something.
No, I just made that up.
Wow, that's so mean.
Thank you.
So Bruce asks around.
They're supposed to be sisters, not twins. Okay. Dude.
So Bruce asks around at this pub and he finds out about Del Fry, who's a former local football star that died suddenly, and his father had developed some kind of radiation treatment. So Bruce goes to Del Fry's grave and he can just feel the gamma radiation coming from the grave.
And they're in Arizona.
And they are in Arizona, which is weird because they don't say where, and like, just say it. Just say where.
It's not a real place. I bet it's like fucking like Winslow or something.
I don't think it's like, it's definitely not like East Valley or like in the valley.
No.
Not like around Phoenix or anything.
No. Maybe even like someplace weird. Prescott or something.
Yeah. That's what, yeah. I think so.
Because there's a lot of green when he goes to this like,
good point.
This fucking cemetery and there's like mountains that he climbs.
Have you heard of the game GeoGuessr?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, that's what we're doing right now.
We need Al Ewing to place the location.
Yeah.
We can fucking try and figure it out.
I will email him and see if he knows.
I love when people are like so fucking good at that game for some reason.
Yeah, dude.
Just from like movies and shit.
There's that Rainbolt dude.
Yeah.
That can just like see it. He can see like a frame for like 1 second of a place, not even like moving around.
Yeah, he's like, that's from JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, and that was the season there in Egypt, you know?
Not even like a famous place. He'll be like, yeah, this is Lithuania, and he's like, it's fucking sick.
Yeah.
I don't even care about geography, but that's a cool skill.
You know? Yeah, that's... No, it's a dumb skill, but it's fun.
No, it's cool. Because then you could like, imagine a movie around that guy where he gets kidnapped and dropped somewhere random.
Yeah. It's like, I know exactly where I am.
Yeah, he's like, oh, okay, I know where I am. It's easy. So yeah, Bruce calls the EPA to have them investigate the gamma, and then he leaves. And he's like, I'm Bruce Banner, you better come here right now. And then he just like leaves.
I only know EPA from like...
EPA.
Yeah, from like The Simpsons movie.
Yeah, I think everybody does.
I'm like, I didn't know it was a real thing. I thought it was just something
you
in like
The
Simpsons. Okay.
Up until this comic
book. I never thought about it, and I've never heard of it anywhere
never
else.
Heard of the Environmental Protection Agency?
No, just from The Simpsons.
That's insane.
Is it?
I think so.
I need to watch that movie. It's
a
good movie.
It is a good movie.
It looks great. It looks way better than like the show.
Dude, I know.
And I'm like, why don't they just do this for the show?
It holds
it
up.
Yeah.
I think it'll be timeless because of that, you know, because it's like you can't really get much more crisp than that.
Yeah.
I can't imagine
as
like
a cartoon.
Yeah. As like a cartoon.
Mm-hmm.
Like I can't imagine in like 20 years in the future, like we'll watch it and be like, wow, this looks old, you know?
Yeah.
Anyway. But so something that's like said while Bruce is reflecting is that after he died and came back, the Hulk side of him became smarter. And I'm sure Al just wanted to explore that side of Hulk like a little bit more. But like this is when he says it. And it's just like I can't really buy it necessarily. I just think he just wanted a Hulk that has its own personality. you know?
Yeah. I mean, they've done that.
Yeah. Which is fair.
Okay. So the grave that he goes to, it's for Delbert John Fry. And what kind of fucking name is Delbert?
Yeah. Why would you name your kid Delbert?
It's like a made up.
Everybody goofy knows name. Him as Del, you know? It's like, so your name's so bad that like people probably don't even know that your name is Delbert, you know?
What isn't Del's like a normal name, right? What's it short for?
Delbert, I guess.
Fuck.
Delium? It's like when people...
Delvin?
No.
Or...
I don't think so. I knew a dude named Norman, and he just went by Bill because he hated Norman so much.
I don't think Norm's that bad.
I think it's a little bit weird.
Yeah. I mean, it's not...
Not great. It's not Norm. Yeah, he just changed it. So I was like, fair enough. So Bruce finds a cave full of corpses, and he's attacked by Del Fry's father, who has become a glowing green ghost man. And so Hulk pins him down and demands to know like what happened. And Dr. Fry explains that he lost his wife, or when he lost his wife, he threw himself into his lab working with gamma radiation based off of Bruce Banner's work. And he thought that he created a serum that could give him like a healing factor. And since his son was in football and he's like, the serum works well, he gives it to his son, and his son immediately has this crazy reaction and dies. And then the serum started having effects on Dr. Fry later. So he fled to the cave that he's in now, and he's just killed anybody that's found him.
Mm.
And this like, this is where like the horror aspects of it come in. Like there's like little flavors of it, because this panel where he's having the reaction to the actual radiation serum is pretty frightening.
I was reading panel to panel, and when you swipe to that, I'm like, oh, fuck yeah.
Jump scare. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's really cool. And like the whole idea of it's pretty cool, because the father himself turned into like a walking ghost, because he had that level of radiation, but I think he just built up some sort of immunity of exposure to gamma radiation because he worked with it. And so that's why it didn't affect him until later, but it affected his son immediately.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, it's a pretty cool idea. And so Hulk tells him that because of his obsession with curing death, he instead has unknowingly killed anybody that goes to his son's grave to mourn and absorb that radiation. So Hulk buries Dr. Fry deep into the cave, where he will spend like the rest of his existence, pretty much.
Yeah, under like a bunch of boulders that he couldn't possibly move.
Bunch of boulders deep in the mountain. No one's getting hit by that radiation. And
very satisfying.
Very cool.
Because fuck that guy.
This issue is so good.
Yeah, it is a
like,
good one.
This could be its own one shot, and I would fuck with it like pretty heavy. So it just, I like that it has its own like well-rounded story.
And oh, yeah. And he also like ripped off his like arms and legs.
Oh, yeah.
So that he couldn't possibly.
So you really make sure you can't lift these boulders.
Yeah.
So issue 3, we're in South Dakota now. The Jackie reporter lady questions witnesses to a Hulk sighting, and she questions like a bunch of people, and they all tell their perspective of seeing the Hulk. And so there's like a couple of people. So there's a cop who is responding to a hostage situation with this villain named Hotshot. And he has powers where he can like shoot rays out of his fingers, like a finger gun, which is mm-hmm. pretty fun. And at that time, there's a bartender who refused to let Bruce use the bathroom because he looked like a bum. But Bruce sees the hostage situation on the news and runs out. And a big thing of this issue is that for each perspective, there's a different artist. And I think that's so fun.
So sick. I love it.
Because each one has its own distinct style that fits with their perspective. And some of them think of it as like, oh, this is like kind of a cool thing that I'm seeing. It's like what I used to read in the comics. And it looks like an old timey comic thing.
Yeah.
There's like an old lady that remembers Hotshot as like this hunky guy. And he's like trying to get the priests at the church to perform an exorcism on his girlfriend to like save her. And so to the grandma, this guy is just like this greaser kind of dude, and he's like, oh, I need you to help my girlfriend, kind of deal.
Well, it kind of sucks is that they don't tell you who did what. Like, it doesn't say anywhere in the issues.
I think it does.
Where?
I think it does in like the very beginning.
Oh, let me go.
So it was Paul Hornschmeyer who did the bartenders. It was Marguerite Savage who does the old lady story, and Gary Brown that does the priest story. Who does the cop, though? Is that Joe Bennett?
I looked it up, and I think Leo Romero does one. And I think...
He must be the cop, then.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty fun.
Which is sick.
So, from the priest's perspective, he prayed to God and got an answer in the form of the Hulk crashing through, like, the stained glass window of the church. And then the Hulk crushes Hotshot's hands, and Hotshot shoots a hole through Hulk, but Hulk has like a healing factor that like heals itself. And I think what's so fun about this is that there's a like a very drastic change in style.
Mm.
And that's cool because the perspectives are so different. Like some person, like the priest thought it was like a like fucking terrible thing that he was like witnessing and something from hell kind of coming. And then the old lady's just kind of happy to be there. It kind of seems like
the priest one kind of remind me of like Phil Hester. And as if it was like very dark and like brooding.
The bartender one kind of feels like a shaky cane.
I would say more Jeff Lemire, if anything.
Okay.
But I do see the shaky cane.
I think the coloring with like the sort of simplistic lines kind of makes it like shaky cane. But
what do you think about the old lady one? Is that more like
that one?
Is that like Chris Anka, you think?
Yeah, probably.
Okay.
Somewhere around there.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah, I just think it's cool. It's also like, you know, some people, Hulk's been around for a while, so some people like know who Hulk is, and so to see him, it's like pretty cool.
But yeah.
It's also understandable if you're really frightened by the Hulk, so.
I feel like this is like every, like I know like the reporter is like getting all the different point of views, but this is what like has a cop like has to go through if like there's all these witnesses and stuff like that, mm-hmm. and you have to just like try and figure out what's going on, but they're all telling it like completely different.
Yeah, exactly.
And so we as readers like don't exactly know, but I think probably the brooding way is the more accurate one.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, the Phil Hester looking style is probably what I'd go with. And so the cops eventually go to check on Hotshot's girlfriend, and they find her tied to a chair with her head completely turned around and smiling. And we see the words, the green door behind her. And Jackie, now having the story, determines that she needs to get in contact with Bruce. And she gets a call from Walter Lankowski, or Sasquatch from Alpha Flight, who's also looking for Bruce. And I totally thought that this was Sabretooth at first.
That's kind of where my mind went.
Yeah, it's just blonde dude with sideburns. And I'm like, yep.
He looks like Jermaine Clement, that dude from like Flight of the Conchords. Did you ever see like What We Do in the Shadows?
Mm-mm.
This guy.
Ooh.
Have you seen him?
Yeah.
Where do you know him from?
I don't know.
No. But I saw that and I'm like, I feel like that's the...
He could...
This might be his reference.
He'd play a great Sasquatch.
Yeah.
Dude, if they ever do the Alpha Flight movie.
And this guy is just like a big Hulk guy.
Yeah.
Alpha Flight movie would be such a stretch. Like,
so is Guardians.
Yeah, I guess.
But now we have Guardians, so it's like you can't really do an Alpha Flight. You know, I feel like, unless you're protecting specifically Earth, you know?
Canada.
I think that's what they do?
Canada.
Yes, they are from Canada. Thank you.
They protect Canada.
Okay.
You know, like Toronto and stuff.
Yeah. And they're like, oh, sorry, alien. You can't come here.
No, sir.
Yeah, Canada's closed here. You got to go back. Or do you have anything else to say about that one?
Someone said Hulk is the devil. I thought that was funny. I think that was the priest.
Yeah, probably.
He's like, it's the devil. And then I guess Hotshot like hung himself. Or what was his name?
Hotshot, yeah.
Yeah.
Did he hang himself in prison?
Yeah, something like that.
That's crazy. Oh, yeah. The old lady was like, yeah, he hung himself later.
Yeah. And then she's like, oh, well, tea? You know? She just rushes off really quickly. She's like,
that sucked. He was pretty hot, but oh, well.
And then we get some mid-matter, Nathan.
Mid-matter, yeah.
Just like a bunch of number one variants.
Yeah, it seems weird that they put it here. But, yeah. There's a Sal Buscema one. It's this bottom corner one.
I fuck with that.
I love when they put people's names as like diners or streets or stuff.
I like
stuff.
This fucking Clayton Crane one, dude.
I'm a big Cary Andrews fan, so I like seeing him do stuff. This isn't what this is. It seems a little bit different from his normal style, but he's got Cary Andrews has some like crazy comics.
I feel like Clayton Crane could do a great like Godzilla comic based off of this with like the debris and just like how.
This Hulk
vascular
design,
this Hulk is.
This Hulk design looks like if he did like a muscle up, he'd shoot to the moon. Like,
oh yeah.
His
why is his waist so small?
His upper body is so large and his waist is so small.
His waist is so snatched.
He's got like a literal hourglass shape. Issue 4, Jackie determines that to crack the story on the Hulk, she's gonna meet with Sasquatch, and so she does, and she finds out that he and Bruce used to be college roommates.
At Penn State. For one semester.
And they would get into some arguments, especially when Walter wanted to get into gamma research like Bruce, but Bruce only saw him as like a jock.
This is such a bizarre thing because I don't know what Penn State's good at, like, yeah, except for football, you know.
This is like research as
this
well,
like,
I guess.
This is like Tom's like football team. So I was a little upset to see that he went to Penn State first semester.
Yeah.
But I just don't feel like, I feel like he'd go to like MIT or something.
Yeah, I feel like, know? Bruce Banner wouldn't be going to, yeah,
to a state school, you know?
It would be like an Ivy League.
Yeah, did he lose a scholarship or some shit?
He must have. I don't know. Also, it's a bit petty to gatekeep Gamma research, you know?
Yeah.
He's like, no, you do the football, I do the science. And it's like, come on.
Yeah, I guess it might be like a little hard to imagine that someone who gets like hit by 300-pound men like multiple times
is like
a day.
Is like, know, a gamma scientist.
Yeah, has like the brain capacity for like this insane science.
Yeah, that's fair.
But
you should be encouraging.
Yeah, if he's your friend. Of course.
So when Walter discovered Bruce to be the Hulk, he quit playing football and tried to replicate the conditions making the Hulk, which turned himself into Sasquatch.
And Sasquatch has a bush.
Sasquatch, he does have a bush. Oh my God.
Did you not notice the bush?
No.
Immediately?
No, I was just like, okay, he's hairy. Why is that if he replicated the conditions? But whatever. And so
I wish he would have just turned into like Bigfoot, you know, like as like when you picture Bigfoot, I wish he would turn into that. Because that'd be so much funnier.
I just pictured like the beef jerky commercials.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, and that guy's just on Alpha Flight for some reason.
Oh, that'd be so funny. Like, just get the same cheap costume as well. From just lift it from the commercials and put it in Alpha Flight.
Yeah, whenever there's like dialogue going on, he's just eating beef jerky.
That would be so good. He talks about seeing a green door to like a world of monsters and getting possessed by Tanarak for a while. And after, in the present, seeing a bunch of like, they see a bunch of smashed cars and stuff, they go to a pub to see if Bruce had made any appearance there, which is pretty smart by them, because they're like, he goes to pubs, let's just go to a bar and see, ask around.
I love how sometimes you can pick up that someone has an accent based off of their dialogue, which is hard to do when you're reading.
Yeah.
And it's not like bad English or anything. They, like, the waitress is like, oh, you betcha. You know?
Yeah.
And so I'm like, oh, they're in South Dakota right now.
You two keep it down, okay? Don't make me come over there. That kind of shit. So there's a double page spread where there's like a wreckage and there's like stacked cars. But overall, the destruction seems pretty tame for like a Hulk appearance.
There's a chunk out of a bridge.
I know, but it's like there's that and then where the cars are stacked on each other and like that's it. So like pretty lucky, you know, as far as civil, you know, construction people go. And so at the bar, they hear about Bruce. Bruce was there at some point and was asking about like a local drug dealer. He's just doing some more vigilante stuff. At the bar, two guys start fighting each other and Walter kind of gets in between them, but he's stabbed in the back and rushed to the hospital, but he never turns into Sasquatch, which would normally heal him probably.
Yeah.
And while at the hospital, Bruce Banner is there incognito mode. He's got the hat and I guess he tracks Sasquatch's radiation. I don't know.
Of course.
And he tells Jackie that they need to evacuate the building because Walter is now transforming into Sasquatch. I don't know what the delay was, but he's doing it late and now they're in a hospital. So it's a big deal.
Bruce got shot in the head and then didn't like turn until he was at the morgue.
Yeah, that's fair. But if he got shot in the back, I would assume he'd turn faster.
Yeah, because he'd still be like alive, I guess.
Yeah. So issue 5. We get a flashback to Sasquatch and Alpha Flight, and Captain Marvel thinks that Walter's losing control of Sasquatch. And he's like, no, I got rid of Tanarak. That was like a spirit, and it's like a whole thing, but we're good now. We're chill.
Yeah, so it's like the spirit would possess like the monster body.
But not Walter.
Yeah.
But then he got rid of that. He did a cleanse.
Yeah, a juice cleanse.
Yeah, and then now he can stay as Sasquatch, but turn back anytime he wants. But he's finding out that when he turns back into Walter, it's like more difficult than it used to be. And then in the present, Bruce confronts Sasquatch, who immediately says that he's not Walter. Like, there's no more Walter in this Sasquatch body. And then he slashes Bruce's throat, turning him into the Hulk. And
he's like possessed by something else now.
Yes.
Yep.
I like the immediate throat slit. I thought that was pretty funny. He's like, oh, Bruce. Also, we didn't talk about this with the Hulk design, but I love me some like Hulk cankles, you know?
Where do you see Hulk cankles?
It's like anywhere you see his ankles. It's like his legs are so muscular that his calves just kind of blend into his ankles.
Uh-huh.
And I think it's pretty cool.
Dude, why does his forearm have a six pack?
Oh my God, you're right.
Yeah.
It's just like two veins, but it does make it look like a six pack.
Yeah, I don't know. It's crazy.
So they punch for a bit, and Hulk says something came through the green door to possess Sasquatch and wants to know who it was. But then he looks in like the reflection of like a window, and it reveals to be Bruce's dad, which brings up trauma of like an abusive father, I guess. And then it's explained that these entities need a host to function in the physical world. So whatever's coming through this green door, I think that's like a recurring thing in like the entire run.
Yeah.
And this one happens to be Bruce's dad's spirit.
So I guess, yeah, it's just some, I guess they got to close the door because that spirits are going in and out of it or whatever.
Yeah. But I didn't know Bruce had like an abusive father.
Yeah. I didn't know anything about that relationship.
Yeah. So I thought that was interesting.
There's a bit when Sasquatch is like stabbing the Hulk with his claws, the way it looks like going into his skin.
Oh, yeah.
It's super gross.
Ooh, it hurts.
Yeah.
Also, there's a couple panels where Hulk's going like savage and you can just see like the pupils get like smaller. And I think it like really sells the fact that he's just raging. So that's always fun to see.
I like how he like is looking in the reflection, sees his dad, and then he's just like, daddy, you know?
Yeah, I know. As Hulk as yeah. well. That's crazy. So there's a security guard with Jackie who tries to tase Sasquatch, which like, what are you trying to do?
Yeah, it's like,
do you see a big Hulk fucking punching him? You think a taser is going to do anything?
Yeah.
And so Sasquatch slashes that guy and kills him. But before he can hurt Jackie, Hulk grabs Sasquatch and absorbs the gamma radiation from him, turning Sasquatch back into Walter. Then it's revealed that Jackie became obsessed with the Hulk after seeing him as a child and leaving her with questions of how she could be like the Hulk. And then the Hulk is like, what? Go home. And then he just like leaves the hospital.
Yeah, it's like, you don't want to be like me or whatever.
Yeah. So there's like I do like that cool little twist. I think it's a twist, but
he just eats gamma radiation.
No, not that. That was dumb because it's like, just do that.
Yeah, it's from like the beginning. When did this happen?
Or maybe it was like the taser hitting him allows as like a current to absorb. I don't know how it all works, but
probably not.
But yeah, there's like a small section of the comic where it's like a little girl seeing Hulk for the first time, and her dad was like, don't make eye contact with them, kind of deal.
And then she does that. And exactly.
She doesn't make eye contact with Bruce, but I didn't make the connection that was her initially.
Yeah. And then in the absorption of the gamma radiation, he figures out that he has absorbed his dad.
Yep. He sucked in his daddy. and then Logan's like, I can't feel Sasquatch anymore. I can't squatch anymore.
Yeah.
That's what he says. And then, yeah. So
can't
the Hulk,
squatch
like,
out.
The Hulk. I hope that's his clobbering time kind of line.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm going to squatch. but yeah, as Hulk leaves, he like looks in reflection and like sees his dad staring back at him. So it's kind of like how when Bruce looks in the reflection, he sees a monster and sees the Hulk. But now Hulk sees a monster in reflection, which is his dad. And it's like, wow, that's deep. Also, I like how Hulk leaves the hospital, but kind of just like walks through the wall like he's the fucking Kool-Aid man. Did you see that?
Yeah.
It's like there's a door. You could probably fit.
Not going to look for it.
Yeah.
Probably couldn't fit through it anyway.
Yep. So anyway, that was the Hulk. So let's get into Back Matter Matters.
Back Matter Matters. This Back Matter includes an additional like 8-pager or whatever.
Yeah.
That was, or 10-pager. And it's from Avengers 684. Featuring an opening sequence recapping recent events in life and death of Bruce Banner that led to his return as the Immortal Hulk.
Yeah.
So we're getting a prologue kind of thing.
A prologue prequel.
I didn't read that bit. I just like kept going.
I read it. It was fine.
No, I didn't read this little bit that told me what the next bit was.
Oh, I see.
And so I was a little confused.
Oh, okay. Yeah. It's just like, here's how we got here. There are two arrows in him.
There are two?
Yeah. So there's like a flashback to the Civil War 2 part where Hulk dies.
Because they were just both at a diner and then he gave him two and he's like, put it in my head and then the other one in my heart or whatever.
Yep. Which he does. He nailed it. There's also like a like a timeline of like Hulk things that you can read if you want that are like pretty big.
There's some little dream sequence thing with Dr. Voodoo, which is kind of random.
Yeah, that was weird. I think that's when that's how he came back to life, maybe. And then there's like a little afterword thing by Al Ewing. He explains why the trait is called, or is he both? Because in the first issue of The Incredible Hulk, there's like a little question mark thing. And inside of that, is he man or monster, or is he both?
Ah.
And so that's why it's called that. And that's why he wanted to kind of lean into some more of the horror themes, which I don't really think he does that much in this, but I guess probably more than most Hulk comics. So he just kind of talks about his experience with the Hulk. It's pretty nice. And then we see some Alex Ross pencils.
Dude.
Which are unreal.
Nuts.
Just do this. Like, just print this, you know?
Yeah.
I don't understand how he does it, but he's great. And then we have a Joe Bennett design page, and we see the design of the Hulk and stuff. How big is the friggin' back of his neck is one of my favorite parts.
Yeah. It's like a good Superman, you know, with that thick neck.
Yeah, thick neck. You know when like the traps like go up to like his ears pretty much? That's a strong guy.
Yeah.
So pretty fun. And then just designing, you know, Logan and the reporter lady and stuff like that. And we have some more covers, and we see the Scotty Young one, which is pretty fun.
Yeah, it's a good.
It's rendition. Literally breaking through the Alex Ross cover, which.
I feel like that'd be problematic. Just
you probably
like,
asked him.
Yeah, is this cool?
Yeah.
Can I put my goofy shit over your
Let me put my
artwork?
Goofy shit and break your art.
Got a Cosmic Ghostwriter variant.
Yeah, that was probably pretty hot back then.
This Gerardo Zaffino one is really sick.
Yeah.
He's very scary looking.
It looks like the scary Hulks from Old Man Logan.
Yeah, the
Hulk gang.
Yeah, the Hulk gang. Mm-hmm. And then this Arthur Adams one, like... It's so funny seeing the Hulk with clothes, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, what size shirt is that?
Well, that one's like the Gray Hulk, the Mr. Fix-It or something.
Okay.
Is that what it's called? I don't know.
I think you're close, but not correct.
Mr. Fix-Ems? Something like that?
Mr. Fix-It is correct, but I don't think that's what this is.
Oh, okay.
But it is funny. Anyway, and that's the Immortal Hulk.
Immortal Hulk.
What do you rate this, Nathan?
You know, I think... I don't know, because I feel like this is definitely pitched as like a horror take on Hulk.
Right.
And I didn't really get that outside of like the second issue.
Right.
And even the second issue, it's like a bit of a stretch to be like, this is horror. So I feel a little...
But a lot of comics can even be like that. Like, they're not necessarily scary. It's just like dealing with monsters or something.
But there can be like horror elements to
sure.
something, even if they're not, you know, great. You know?
Sure.
So I don't know. I would say this is like a... Like a like it. I still enjoyed it. So this is like a love it, but they like got the order wrong. But what you got is still pretty good. You know,
you like watched him make it. Like, yeah. How did they get their order wrong?
I ordered it and then I went to the bathroom and then I got it and I got it to go as well. So
you
I
can
didn't
order,
see it.
You can order Cold Stone and Postmates. So
ooh, okay. Yeah, let's do that. So I ordered
like
some on Postmates and they gave me the wrong order.
Yeah.
Entirely.
It's melted.
And I'm like, oh, man. But I still eat it, and I'm like, that was fun.
If this was, like, the best Hulk comic I've ever read, I would have gave it, like, the Hulk hands that's, like, a koozie.
Yeah, that's a good rating.
But
or the ones that make the noise when you hit them together. Like, we had those.
I know.
I think that was, like, the best-selling toy, like, ever for a little bit.
I believe
that. Hulk hands, yeah.
Pretty sick.
I saw, like, a random, like, TikTok video on it or something, and I was like, this is really interesting. But anyway.
But no, I give it, like, a Hulk popsicle.
Oh, they did have those.
They
huh?
did have those, yeah.
Dude, those are scarier than anything Joe Bennett could do.
So, yeah, I'll give it that. Because, you know, you enjoy it. It was good. Yeah, it was kind of deceiving, you know, which is kind of a bummer.
Yeah,
but I like liked it. It wasn't like a bad experience,
yeah.
You know? Like, we were going to read this regardless, and I get why people like it.
Yeah,
like, I could
too.
See myself continuing to read it,
mm-hmm.
but just not with, like, the expectation of horror.
Yeah. It's not the greatest kickstart to our horror month.
Yeah, you know.
But whatever.
Would you say like overall you liked it?
Yeah, I liked it.
Yeah, you said love it.
Yeah.
What I thought would be fun.
Oh, God.
Is if we looked at reviews from people who didn't like it.
Oh, okay.
So this is from just like Comixology.
Sure.
You know?
The
ones where you just scroll down.
The most trustworthy reviews on the platform.
Yeah. 3 stars. Almost great.
Okay.
I really, really wanted to love this. I liked it being taken in the sort of classic horror direction, but then it loses that direction pretty quickly, just a few issues in. They blow the is he or isn't he killing people when he comes out at night pretty quickly, which takes the horror aspect out of it instantly. But then it gets muddled with this great door concept that I feel they're trying to create some sort of Lovecraftian, but also science-based concept. But there's a few toes dipping into each side.
That's a weird analogy.
Yeah.
You got too many toes in the pools.
The art is also mediocre at best.
Oof.
That's kind of harsh.
That's kind of, yeah, that's pretty harsh.
Fantastic art can sometimes save average writing, but when the art is average to poor in some panels, it just enhances the story's flaws.
Really? Wow, people think so?
I'm giving it a 3 instead of a 2 because it has potential and a lot of it, and I hope this is just a few awkward steps on the way there.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Wow, people don't like Joe Bennett. Maybe it's because he's racist or something.
Maybe.
Or whatever he was canceled for.
This is from 2019, so... That wasn't even out yet. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
One more. 2 stars. Subject is directionless opener. Hulk is back. How? Not sure, but it had to do with the green door.
Book. Yeah. That's insane.
It had something to do with the green door. Do we, he, anybody care about this? Not really, apparently. Let's hunt down other radiated peeps who give off radiative signatures Hulk can read while inside Banner. Mm-hmm. Also, Banner admits Hulk is smarter while as Banner.
Yeah. Okay, to be fair, I was a little bit confused by that statement because he didn't really... Hulk's not doing any science, you know, in the book. So for him to be like, I think Hulk's smarter now, it's kind of like baseless.
Yeah, some evil genius back burner plot I certainly don't have the energy to carry on for. To top it off, his power is nocturnal now. Like a full-on classic horror creature like the werewolf or Dracula. No explanation on that one.
Is it exclusively nocturnal? I thought he was just trying to keep it to being nocturnal.
I don't know. Yeah, no explanation. It seemed like it was almost intentional since he didn't turn right away when he got shot in the face. But, but every instance when he turned, it was nighttime.
Yeah, I think you're right.
So.
Well, okay. Some of those are valid. Anyway, it says that like Joe Bennett's art is like average. I think that's interesting because
I'd say that's wrong.
It's
a I'm gonna call this segment them. Wrong opinions or something like that.
Your opinions are wrong.
Yeah,
and we're right. Featuring Daniel and Nathan.
Yeah, like even if we like hate a book, we'll look for like positive comments.
Oh yeah, I like that.
But anyway, I stole that from another podcast. So.
That's fun. I like that.
Yeah. But anyway, let's get into the pull list. Colin.
Shove it in your box.
The pull list. What did you shove in your box?
What you got this week, Nathan?
Big week.
Pretty big week, yeah.
Which I was not expecting. I didn't know what I was going to get. So apparently I had subscribed to Green Arrow. So like, I was like, fuck. So I picked up that one. I'll read it just to make sure.
And unsubscribed.
Yeah, I did unsubscribe actually. So I was like, can I take this off? I think Parallax is supposed to be in this one or something. So at least there's something like Green Lantern related in it, but I don't know.
Maybe they heard you were dropping it from your pull list.
The writer.
Yeah. They're like, no.
They're like, oh shit. What do we do? So I also picked up Doom Patrol number 6.
Yeah.
Void Rivals number 4. Ultimate Invasion number 4. Oh, fuck. I've heard very mixed reviews on that.
I could see that.
Some people are like, this is a really, interesting way to open up the next thing. And people are like, what the fuck was this? So I can see both. I haven't read it yet, but The Flash number 1 by Cy Spurrier, Mike Diodato.
You going for it?
I'm going for it. I gotta.
I'll give it the 1.
Yeah, I give it the 1. And then while I was there, I was looking at the new wall. And
they put up another wall?
No, sorry. Same wall, new comics. Okay. We're just there on that wall where they always are. And like as I was looking, there's a guy next to me and he was like, you should pick up Rumpus Room number 1.
What?
And I'm like, really? And he's like telling me about it. Apparently he had read it.
Like it came out today.
It did come out today, but I guess he was like, he had to come back and pick something else up. I don't know. But he like read it and I was like, okay, interesting. I picked it up. It's a Mark Russell book.
Oh.
And I'm like, oh, okay. Thank you.
Who publishes
sir.
It?
AWA? AWA?
AWA?
AWA?
AWA? AWA?
I didn't recognize anybody else that was on it, but I picked it up because I got a good review from this random guy I don't know who felt that what he read that day, I guess, was good enough to recommend it to somebody he will never see again.
You'll probably see him again. You shop at the same comic shop.
Yeah, but...
And you can both go on Wednesday.
Yeah.
This guy goes so much on Wednesday, he goes twice on Wednesday. Yeah,
I guess he does go twice.
If I forget something, I'm like, maybe it'll be there next week.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, I'm like, well, I've hit my quota of comic book stores this week, yeah, so I can't
I've
go
done
again.
My good deed of keeping this place in business.
Yeah. So I picked that up. I did read it as well, but what did you pick up?
We're getting New Burn, number 11.
Mm-hmm.
Doom Patrol 6, Firepower 27.
Whoa.
Black Hammer the End, number 2.
Mm-hmm.
Godzilla War for Humanity, number 2, by Andrew McLean.
So, okay, that's the Andrew McLean one. Yeah, yeah, okay.
Yeah, yeah. I'll get The Flash, and then I'll get Ultimate Invasion.
I love your kaiju.
Dude, kaiju comics are so fucking good.
The number of your kaiju comics right now is
it's astronomical.
It's at an all-time high.
The amount of free ones I've downloaded from Comixology Unlimited, like you'd have to scroll. Like, there's so many. Yeah.
Free, like...
Yeah, Godzilla comics are just on Unlimited.
Damn.
And there's so many. It's just like, I think it's like, there's so little dialogue, and then everyone draws it, like Godzilla, like so differently.
So good.
You know, and it's super fun. And a lot of them are like anthologies. So there's different teams on different issues. And that's super fucking fun.
Yeah, I could see that appeal.
I read a silent Godzilla comic.
Whoa.
And it was fucking sick.
Does he yell silently?
Yeah, I think he like screams or whatever.
Okay.
They have like onomatopoeia for like the beams and shit.
I love the Godzilla like yell.
Yeah.
It's like very like pitchy and like scratchy.
Yeah.
And I love it.
So, I love when he shoots the beam. It's like the high pitch thing, you know?
Yeah.
But anyway, tell me about the stuff you read.
Okay. So I read Rumpus Room because I got this resounding review from somebody.
Yeah.
And pretty solid.
What is it about?
It kind of revolves around like a billionaire who's like the villain. But basically the idea is like someone who is the sister of somebody that used to work for this billionaire, who was like an accountant. The sister goes to his like billionaire house because that accountant, after getting laid off, has since gone missing. And so she's trying to figure out why. And she's like, I need you to like reach out to your HR department or something. But he's like a billionaire. He's like, he kind of sucks. And he has this like home defense system where he like gas chambers his own house. But he's so rich that he's the only one that has like had the antidote kind of deal. And that's like his self-defense system. And you find out that there's a group of people that he keeps in his basement. And there's like people that work for him that are dedicated to keeping these people in this basement. But then you find out that the lady is not just the sister of this accountant. She's a cop. And she has a gun. And so it's like her trying to escape. But there's also this weird thing where this billionaire is super young looking. Because every time a new person comes into this basement, the guards ask who they want to take out. And the person that they take out gets put into this machine, gets put into a face cream, or it gets turned into a face cream. And the billionaire like puts it on his face.
So they die because they're turned into a face cream?
They die and turn them into like this weird face cream thing.
So the jail in the basement is at capacity?
Yes.
Okay.
And so very strange, but
yeah.
You know, Mark Russell fucking hits when he hits, you know?
Sure.
So I'll give it another shot. I don't know.
So if this guy tells you to read something else, are you gonna listen?
Only if it's somebody I recognize. Like if it's a creator that I recognize. I don't know if it was so good to be like, you have to pick this up.
Yeah.
But it is.
It sounds like
intriguing enough.
It sounds like an Awa comic.
Yeah, I would say so.
The way you described it, I'm sure, doesn't make it seem like that great.
It's not like a need to read.
Yeah, I know the way that like Mark Russell wrote it, probably makes it a little more exciting. But
yeah, I think that, you know, Mark Russell's really good at just like, you know, what like the themes are. You know, it's like about billionaires being greedy, billionaires just like, you know, finding weird ways to take advantage of like the poor and stuff like that. And so like there's definitely those like undertones in there that are really easy to pick up. I think that's like one of the things he's strongest at is like, you know, like what the theme of the story is and what it's trying to say without it being like super outright, you know?
Yeah.
So I like that about Mark Russell. But yeah, I'll pick up the next one.
Cool.
I also read Green Lantern number 3. I forgot like what the whole situation was because of Night Terrors, you know?
And so it was like 3 months ago.
Yeah. And so I think I enjoyed Night Terrors enough, but it really threw off the momentum, I feel like, for a lot of the books, which I think is unfortunate.
Yeah, they should have waited until after like the first arc at least.
Yeah. Or like wait till October so that those books could have like 4 issues out at least, or like maybe an arc.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. It was a little strange, but I'm enjoying it. You know, Sinestro is like on Earth and he's like creating his own like Legion of Doom type thing, because he used to be part of Legion of Doom. Now he's making his own. And I think King Shark is part of it. So that's kind of fun.
Huh.
And not much really beyond that yet.
Are you going to keep reading it?
Yeah. Yeah, I like it. The artist on it's fucking incredible.
Who's
like
that?
It's like Zermanico or something. Mm. I think he was on something with Chip Zdarsky. I can't remember. But he has like this digital paint style that's really cool.
Okay.
And so it's like the backgrounds are all digitally painted beautifully. And the foreground characters are like typical line work. And I think that style works really well. So pretty cool. I read Wonder Woman by Tom King.
Did you read that 800 issue?
Of Wonder Woman?
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
Did you?
Yeah. Or, no, I didn't read it, but I have it.
Oh, okay. You know, Tom King books take forever to read now, which is starting to get on my nerves.
Yeah. It's like he's not going to switch it up.
Yeah. Because there's like...
He's too inspired by Alan Moore.
Yeah. There's a lot of dialogue and I'm like, okay, whatever. But I think what's starting to annoy me now is when there's a conversation happening, but then there's like a caption, like monologue happening between
those. In
every
panel.
And I have to remember two lines of like two different streams of conversation pretty much.
Yeah.
And like what's going on throughout, which really throws me off.
Like comics is the only thing that can really do that, but it can be overdone to where they interfere.
I think Tom King's been overdoing it lately. So I'm a little just annoyed by that. But Daniel Sampier is an unbelievable artist.
Did he do the cover on that one?
He did the cover on it.
Okay.
The main cover. He also just did whatever the last DC event was. That was pretty big.
Night Terrors.
No, sorry. Last one. The actual big one that like affected everything. Crisis. Dark Crisis. Yeah, something like that. So he's like an event artist, you know, and now he's on Wonder Woman, which is pretty cool.
That's nice.
But I like the concept. So we'll see how it goes.
That was the Flash.
Except for the fucking cliffhanger of Wonder Woman. I was like, what the fuck is this?
You didn't like it?
I didn't like it. I liked the concept and I did not like it.
Okay.
You're going to read it, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Don't spoil it.
You should read it. And then I can complain to you because I was like, this is what you're going with? Because I like the situation that Wonder Woman's in, but it's like the last page. It's like, there's this thing that's going to happen. And I'm like, really? This is your big idea. So anyway.
Another crisis.
Yeah. And then what else? I read another thing. Oh, I read The Flash.
Yeah.
It's Wally West.
Okay.
Which is fine. I like some Wally West.
I honestly can't tell them apart, like character wise.
He has like a family with 3 kids, and it's I don't know.
Dunno.
I like Diodato. He seems strange. It's just like weird to see him on Big Two stuff.
For me
now, even though he's done a lot of Big Two stuff, but like Flash specifically is a little bit strange. But I think he does really good with what he's given.
Does he do good with the small men?
He does do good with small men, I think.
Okay.
He does good with some Speed Force stuff. And
so the art's the highlight?
Art's the highlight. I think art carries.
But plot's just...
Plot, I don't really know what's going on.
Okay.
There's, I think, the general 1,000-foot view without spoiling anything is like something's getting funky with the Speed Force. It's like glitching, almost. But not like Spider-Verse kind of glitching. It's just like sometimes it's working and sometimes it's like not. And it's got to figure it out. And then you figure out why. But I'm not crazy about it.
Okay.
But I wanted to give it a shot because I do like The Flash. But no one's ever done it in a way to where I like really like it.
You going to buy number 2?
If it's a big week, probably not.
Dude, you know what? I liked fucking... Didn't Francis Manipal do like Rebirth or something?
He did New 52.
Maybe I haven't read that.
Did you read
Rebirth Flash? I think he did it. It was really good. Yeah, who did Rebirth Flash? Do you remember?
I think he might have written it, Francis Manapul.
Flash, Rebirth.
I remember
reading that. I'm like, this is rad.
I can visualize the cover, but I don't know who.
Oh, not like Rebirth, not like the Geoff Johns one, like the other one.
No, I know what you're talking about. The Rebirth.
The 2016 one.
Launch, yeah.
This was the Joshua Williamson one? Yeah, it was.
That sounds right.
Okay, yeah. That's not what I'm thinking of.
Is that the one with Godspeed or something?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, maybe I don't know. I don't know a Flash that I liked.
Maybe we could do the Francis Manapul one.
I haven't done like a lot, but I do know he did like the New 52 one, and I think he did artist, right? Writer artist?
Yeah, he was. Yeah.
So, which he nails. He remember does. Trinity, dude?
Yeah, great.
Baller.
We should read Trinity.
Yeah.
We should do Flash.
We should do lots of stuff.
Yeah,
add to the list.
Yeah, add to the list. And then I read Big Game, number 3.
Cool. I haven't. Don't spoil us. Okay. Do you like it?
Yeah.
Is it better than 1 and 2?
Depends on what you like about those.
Is it... I'm asking you.
No.
Okay. Is it like your least favorite issue so far?
No, but I don't know what is.
Okay. Did 3 or more...
20 questions.
Did 3 or more properties of his die during this issue?
Absolutely.
Fuck yeah. Okay.
And a polar bear. Which is weird.
Not the polar bear.
I know. What's our rule on polar bears? Does that mean it's a bad book?
Polar bears are like fucking vicious. And I think...
What about...
They kill humans, I think. Okay. I don't know.
What about a baby polar bear? Because a baby polar bear worse. Definitely dies.
But a baby polar bear would also kill a human, you know?
I could take one. One of my coworkers at work hates geese.
I feel that.
And... He was telling me about how he would get harassed by geese. And so I asked him, how many geese do you think you could take if they were all to charge at you like at once? Like how many? And he said 4. And I feel like that's not a very high number.
I feel like if you get a good swing kick, you can knock out 2.
I think what you do is you grab the neck of one and swing him around in like a big circle.
Ooh, yeah.
But he does not seem convinced that he could do that because of how I'm vicious geese are. Which is,
those beaks, dude, they'll get you.
Yeah. But I've never just thought about that. So immediately,
I'm thinking like 7. But now when you throw a move in there, I'm like, maybe 12.
Yeah, the cycle.
Maybe a baker's dozen.
The hurricane. Yeah, probably about a dozen. I don't know.
Okay.
If they're all really trying to kill me, yeah, they could probably do some damage.
I didn't really read anything this week.
Yeah, I read hella, so.
But we finished Succession.
Ooh. You like it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you say no because they don't want you to like it and you're drawn to that, or you just don't like the show?
No. People, like, I asked mom, like, when did that get good? She's like, I thought it was good the first episode. I'm like, okay, we're on the wrong page here. Because okay. I was like, second season, I'm like, fuck. This show, I get why people like it. It is, they do the best job of writing a show about just people talking, you know? Yeah. And that makes it more interesting than just dialogue, you know, like boring dialogue. But like massively overhyped.
Sure.
I'll say that right now because I feel like we're in a safe space. Perhaps it was coming out in like a dead zone of like TV where there wasn't that much great shit out there.
Mm-hmm.
But I like wouldn't rewatch this, you know. There are some like good character moments and good parts. Yeah, I don't like anybody, but you're not like supposed to kind of thing. But yeah. There's likable parts, I guess.
2 seasons?
4.
Whoa.
39 episodes. So
they're like an hour, right?
Yeah.
Wow.
The last episode was an hour and a half. I'm like, this is a movie.
Damn.
But what is crazy about this is like, so it's about this big company, right?
Mm-hmm.
First season, the son thinks like dad can't handle it anymore. So... What he tries to do is force him out, you know, get to the board or whatever, right? Doesn't work. Second season, he tries to get funding to buy the company.
Okay.
Doesn't work.
Hmm.
Third season.
A scandal.
It's just like all the, every season, every couple of like, oh yeah, yeah, scandals. Third season.
Ooh, nailed it.
He tries to like out them for this illegal shit that they're doing.
Hmm.
Nothing really comes from it. They just get slapped on the wrist with like some fine.
Okay.
Then fourth season, like it's just like
audit.
No, no, that's like they're about to get acquired. And then the kids try and like fuck it up.
Mm.
But like, it's like all these things like potentially happen, but then they don't happen. So the state of the company is the same the entire fucking show.
That's funny.
And so all the dialogue is just talking about what will happen if the thing happens, mm-hmm. but then the thing doesn't happen.
Ooh.
And it's fucking
frustrating.
Frustrating. Yeah. It was absolutely insane how long they were able to like milk this.
Wow.
And so, yeah, it was, I think Sarah liked it. I don't know. She kept wanting to watch it. So
good review. Yeah.
It's like we start a thing and then lock into it, and then
that's just like what
it's just
doing.
Like when we have time. I think maybe she doesn't like her burner shows, you know.
Mm-hmm.
She's like just diving into like the bottom of the barrel to find some shit to watch.
Yeah,
when like I'm not around or whatever. So
interesting.
Anyway, but
yeah, people said it that they like it. So
there's this one character. He's like a cousin of like the family. That's him. They call him Cousin Greg.
Okay.
I thought he was going to last like a season and a half, but he lasts like the whole show.
Why would you think that he would only last that long?
Just like he didn't seem important and he didn't seem like anyone liked him.
Oh, okay.
So like he was like only like a part of the business as like a favor because he's family kind mm-hmm. of thing. But it seemed very easy for him to just like fuck up or whatever.
Steve, yeah.
But does that guy, do you recognize that guy at all?
No.
Look very closely. Doesn't strike you? Nothing familiar about him.
This rings a bell, but I can't tell.
Okay,
you're about to lay something on me right now,
dude. So I was like looking into it, like the showrunner, see if he did anything else. Not really that I know of, at least. And I was just kind of looking in these things. There's
what's his character's name? So people listening,
Cousin Greg.
Oh yeah, Cousin Greg. You said that. Yep.
And so I went to that character's his name. The actor's name is Nicholas Braun. I go to like his IMDb, his top four things. I only recognize one thing. And do you remember Zack Attack from Sky High?
Whoa, Zack Attack.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This I blew my fucking mind. I almost threw my phone because like.
It's not that frustrating, I feel like. But
I know, but like.
I'm glad he's doing something.
Yeah. I'm like, yeah, I thought I'd never see this man again in my life. Except for a Sky High sequel or something.
I would say that. You were lying to me if you recognized Zack Attack.
I did not.
And no. Connected from Zack Attack to Succession.
Yeah. And I was just like, because I was watching Succession. I'm like, I've never seen this man in my life. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And.
But you have, Daniel.
But I have. Yeah. And I was like kind of mad at myself. I'm like, I would be the dipshit to recognize. I'm the only person who's seen these two things in the world, I feel like. But yeah. I asked Sam, like, you ever see the movie Sky High? She's like, yeah. And I send her that picture. I'm like. Look at Cousin Greg.
Cousin Greg is Zack Attack.
I'm like, you remember that electricity guy? Wow. Or whatever?
I'm surprised he never made it on like The Flash. Because the...
Dude.
That one girl.
Disney Channel crossover?
Well, the one girl who's like the Poison Ivy lady is Killer Frost.
Yeah.
So.
What Poison Ivy lady? Was that your power?
In Sky High. The girl that plays the girl that can do like the plant stuff.
That was her power?
Yeah, her power was like doing plant stuff. She's pretty big. She's like a main character.
Yeah. I know her face. Yeah. I just didn't recognize
her. That actor plays Killer Frost in The Flash.
Correct. Yeah. That's the only thing I knew her from.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I just wanted to
that's fun.
Share that experience with you.
Nice.
Did you watch anything?
What I'll talk about real quick. Just I've never seen like those Michael Bay TMNT movies, but we were looking for something to watch.
You didn't see the first one?
No, I never saw the first one.
With like the beatboxing in the elevator?
Yeah. That whole thing, I've never watched that movie.
Huh.
Neither of them. I never told Sophie this because I think she'd get mad at me. But we were looking at something to watch and we couldn't find anything. I couldn't think of anything that I physically said to Sophie, like, oh, we should watch this.
The new TMNT is on like streaming now.
Yeah, I know. But we were looking for something to watch. I don't have Paramount. And like that was just there. And I was like, oh, that, you know, would be kind of fun to watch right now. Because we were trying to go to sleep. But we ended up watching the whole thing. Yeah, I'd never seen it. And... like it's very jarring to watch it now, knowing how good the teenagers are as Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Yeah,
when it's like those adults. Are definitely adults. Like Alan Ritchson does not sound like a teenage person.
Yeah.
Also, they're huge, but they pull it off somehow. Like they're these big, like hulking turtles, right?
Yeah, so mutants.
The thing that's the most jarring is Shredder for sure, because he looks like Megatron.
I'd have to look it up.
Okay, well he's a little bit overdone. I think it could work, but his actual like blades on his arms, he has like 7 swords each arm. And it is like unreal. Like it's like way, way overdone.
Dude, he looks like the Predator killer.
Yeah. Yeah, he does. It's like, what is that?
How is this are you... in the first one?
This is the first one, yeah.
I don't remember this at all.
Also, the knives, he can throw them and then they like can come back to him, you know, so it's like a whole thing.
Huh.
So I think they were cooking a little too much in this movie.
That's just the Michael Bay effect, I think.
I think it is. Well, just doing Megatron. I think the turtles themselves are a little bit over-designed, but I do like how Donatello.
He just gave him like the
tech
Transformer
shit.
Treatment, you know? Yeah. Like putting Megan way too Fox. Much detail into this thing.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Megan Fox. That makes sense. She was a little off as like
100% she was off. I was like, I don't see her as an April. She's supposed to be like 25 or something. I don't believe it. And so the whole time I'm like, this is just strange that this was made. But it like makes sense because it's like Michael Bay is pretty hot, you know, at the time.
Yeah.
I don't think he didn't direct it, but he definitely produced it.
Oh, I thought he directed it.
I don't think he did. But there was a really fun scene where there's like an action scene where they're sliding down a mountain and it's like snowy. And it's like a 5-minute action scene. And there's like a lot going on. And I thought that was the funnest part of the movie. So
I'll have to rewatch that because I haven't seen the second one.
I haven't seen the second one either.
Because that one has Bebop and Rocksteady in it.
Yeah.
Which would be cool to see in like that kind of style.
Yeah.
Like I've seen them, but like just to see how it plays out, you know?
Mm-hmm. Will Arnett's in it. And he did the best he possibly could, I think, because they didn't really give him much to work with.
Oh, yeah. What is he doing that?
He's like the Jimmy Olsen. Like he carries the camera. He's got the truck or okay. whatever. And I like Will Arnett a lot, but yeah, he does not have much to work with as far as like being a funny guy in that movie.
That that one dude, like Green Arrow's Casey Jones in the second one.
Oh, yeah. Stephen Amell.
Stephen Amell. So
it's good casting, I feel like. I don't know. I haven't seen it.
Yeah, it's fine, I guess.
Yeah.
What are we gonna read next week?
But cool. What are we reading next week, Nathan?
Man, we're reading Killadelphia.
Yeah.
But so that should be fun.
Yeah, we're just gonna record it right now.
Yeah, so. We have to double record. So so we're gonna do that right now. But for you next week, thank you for listening and watching.
Yeah. Link tree in the bio. Go check out all the stuff. Like, mm-hmm. comment, subscribe. Email us. Tell what horror books to
we should read. Have read.
We should have read.
Maybe we could do one more horror book.
For like next year, we don't have time.
No?
Yeah.
Wow, we're booked?
We're fucking jam-packed.
Mm, okay, all right.
Because that would get into our Godzilla week, and I'm not budging on that.
Godzilla week?
Fuck yeah, we are.
That's funny. Okay.
It's just one episode.
Yeah, a whole week?
What?
I forgot that show's coming out so soon.
Yeah, it's like November.
What Godzilla book are you going to pick amongst all of the Godzilla greatness that's out there?
It's going to be fucking hard to decide.
You still have to narrow it down?
Yeah.
You just know it's Godzilla.
It's got to be.
What's your favorite Godzilla book, listeners? Email in.
Yeah, let us know.
TradeRadersPod@gmail.com. Is it Cockju?
Is it the giant Cockju?
The giant Cockju. I don't think there's a trade yet, but we'll wait.
But anyway, all right. Thanks for watching and listening.
Bye.
All right, bye.